Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and then the New Testament book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, and then 33 to 35. And then I'll read those in your hearing. 2 Samuel chapter 9 says that David asked, "Is there anyone remaining from Saul's family I can show kindness to because of Jonathan?" There was a servant of Saul's family named Ziba. They summoned him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "I am your servant," he replied. Verse 3 says, "So the king asked, is there anyone left of Saul's family that I can show the kindness of God to?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still Jonathan's son who was injured in both feet." The king asked him, "Where is he?" Ziba answered the king, "You'll find him in Lodabar at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel." So King David had him brought from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Verse 6 says, "Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, bowed down to the ground, and paid homage. David said, 'Mephibosheth, I am your servant,' he replied. 'Don't be afraid,' David said to him, 'since I intend to show you kindness because of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all of your grandfather Saul's fields, and you will always eat meals at my table.'" The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, and then verses 33 and 35 read, "Then Peter came to him," Jesus, "and said, 'Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus says, "I tell you, not as many as 7, but 70 times 7. And then verse 33 through 35 says, "Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
If you look in your bulletins, as I have several times over this morning, and I thought about the sermon title that says, you all tell me what the sermon title says. It says,
"Is my forgiveness real?"
And we were talking about God's fills up here a few minutes ago, and this sermon was born out of some of the experiences that I was going through earlier in the week. And that was a question that I asked myself. But as I've learned from maybe early Monday morning until today, is my forgiveness real is not necessarily the question that I'd like to pose to you all as I pose it to myself. But what I'd like to, the statement that I like to make is real forgiveness looks like this. So I was asking myself early in the week because, again, of a few challenges, and I was thinking, because every once in a while when you have people, coworkers, neighbors, friends, family, who offend you over and over again, whether they're aware of it or not, it says to me, and I ask myself, Cheryl, is your forgiveness, is it really real? So what happens when these type of things happen for me, I always go to the Word of God so that I can have an example. And the example that I got is not, again, the question that I posed to you, so kind of X out what you see in your bulletin. But what it says is that real forgiveness looks like this. I traveled back into the Old Testament and looked up this story of, I can never say, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. I look at the story of Mephibosheth, and it's one that I have not frequented. I wasn't frequently going over this story when I've gone through the scriptures. I'm very familiar, as we all might be, of the stories of David and Saul and Jonathan and the Philistines, absolutely, Goliath. But Mephibosheth is somebody who I had never heard of. So when the Holy Spirit led me to this verse and I began to read about what David was doing is something that we also should be doing as Christians. And not only that, it's something that Jesus teaches very clearly to his disciples. And that would include us, those who are also followers of Christ. So I began on this journey, and I'm thinking about Mephibosheth, but I go back to a little bit of the history in 2 Samuel. What had happened was that Saul had been killed, and Jonathan had been killed, and Saul's other two sons in the war against the Philistines. They had all been killed, and they let David know what had happened, and we know that David and his army, they all lamented because they were so sorrowful. But what we also know is that Saul and David didn't have a very good run, did they? Saul was, not initially, but as time went on and as David served Saul, Saul was looking to kill David. He became intimidated. He became kind of crazy out of his mind, and he tried to kill David every chance that he got. But what happened was is that David and Jonathan, who was Saul, one of Saul's sons, they became very, very good friends. And in the midst of their friendship, even in the midst of the trials going on between David and Saul, they made a covenant with one another. And the covenant that they made with one another, Jonathan said to David, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, he said to him, David, if anything ever happens to me, I'm paraphrasing, if I should die, please take care of my family. So when we find David here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David has been on the throne for quite a while, about 9 years since the death of Saul and Jonathan and Saul's other sons. And David comes to a point in the midst of his kingship, in the midst of the monarchy. He comes to a point where in verse 1 it says, he asked, is there anyone remaining from Saul's family I can show kindness to because of Jonathan? Now, what I thought about as I continue to read this story, I thought about it's kind of easy, or I shouldn't say it's kind of easy. It's easier to forgive those who are our friends. I think it's a little bit easier to forgive those who are our friends as opposed to those we may not be so friendly with. So one of the things I was thinking as I was reading was that, oh, well, this will be pretty easy for David to do because he and Jonathan were so close. And this is actually Jonathan's son, and he might feel a little bit more drawn to forgiving him. The scripture goes on to say that the king said to Ziba, who was also a servant of Saul, was there anybody left in the house of Saul? Was there anybody at all? And Ziba told him yes. And then he named Mephibosheth. And what happens by the time we get to verse 6, Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, bowed down to the ground, and paid homage. And David said to him, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth responded and said, I am your servant. Don't be afraid, David said, since I intend to show you kindness because of your father, Jonathan. We're still talking about forgiveness. We're still talking about real forgiveness looks like this. Real forgiveness looks like no matter what David had gone through in the midst of Saul's tirades and even he and Jonathan's friendship, that he still remembered what the grace of God looked like, and he's also exercising what real forgiveness is. When he tells Mephibosheth not to be afraid, Mephibosheth, although crippled, we understand that he was crippled and lamed in both feet, but what Mephibosheth understood, as we understand in that time, is that when Saul was killed, the custom was that you are to kill the entire family, particularly every male of the preceding monarchy, so that nobody would try to come up and take over the throne that David had been given. So Mephibosheth may have thought that at this point it was his time to die. But what he didn't know was that David was going to extend to him grace and forgiveness. And he was going to have him be a guest at his table for the rest of his life. He was going to take care of his family, and he was going to give all of Saul's lands and possessions over to him. Mephibosheth had no idea. And that's how our forgiveness should be when somebody asks for our forgiveness, or even when they don't. When somebody offends us, we should be prepared. We should have a heart that's ready to say, I forgive you. And beyond of just using words, we should be ready to act. We should be ready to act to exhibit the type of forgiveness that somebody else needs. And all the time, we can't exhibit forgiveness in the way that's tangible. To say, I forgive you, so I'm going to do what David did. But what we can do is make sure that our hearts are clean before God. And when we repent of our own sins first so that we can honestly forgive someone else. How do I know that's true? because we always go to our main source, who is Jesus the Christ, and the character that always has a lot to say, and that character would normally be whom? In the New Testament and the Gospel of Matthew that we just read, we said that somebody had a question, and who was that? Peter. I'm just making sure you all are with me. Peter had a question. And what Peter said was, Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me if I forgive him? This is in verse 21. And Jesus says, I tell you, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. Now, again, these are verses that we've heard many times, I'm sure, in our Christian walk. But what was so funny to me about Peter is that, Peter, you actually knew the answer. Peter knew the answer that he was asking Jesus. He had walked with him. He had shared with him. He had prayed with him. And then what Jesus does, and I didn't get into it, I didn't read it to you, he goes into a whole parable, as Jesus so wonderfully does. And he tells them the parable about the talents and the king and how he forgave his servant and blah, blah, blah. And he gets to the end of this entire parable. And then it says in verse 33, shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant? This is the end of the parable. As I have had mercy on you. And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. Doesn't that sound like us every once in a while? When somebody offends us, immediately at times we want to get revenge. We want to take the place of God. When God is the one who says, no, vengeance is mine, but your job and my job is to forgive. Your job is to have a clean heart and ask God to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. That's what David said. But we don't always operate that way, and I don't like to pretend that that's always our first reaction, because it's not. It's not mine. I'll speak for myself. Sometimes you want to give it to them. You want them to get right back what they've given to you or what they've done to you and the way that they've offended you. And then you and I become like Peter. Now, Jesus, are you sure you meant we had to forgive seven times, or what were you saying exactly? And Jesus does what Jesus does, and he gives him an entire parable and lets him know, I have forgiven you over and over again, and we are to do the same. Because as we heard in our brief message about the Gospels, if we don't forgive others, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. So the question that I was asking myself earlier in the week, is my forgiveness real? Well, if I still have a question about it, I understand now real forgiveness looks like this. Real forgiveness is emulated in a story that was shared by David, but in a principle that was given by Jesus Christ. And then what we will do, as we will in just a few minutes, we will recite the Lord's Prayer. And we do it so wonderfully and so beautifully. And then we've even over the years had decisions made about whether we're going to say trespassers or trespassers or debts or debtors. No matter what we say, the bottom line is that it is our responsibility to forgive. So when Jesus teaches us how to pray, when he taught the disciples how to pray, he said to them, pray in this manner. He says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And here's the part that we all just always sing and say so beautifully. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive our debtors or those who trespass against us. And then lead us not into temptation, and we finish it out. But what Jesus wants us to know, you and I, this morning, is that we have to do a lot more practicing about forgiving others with a clean heart. A lot of times when we have to forgive others, there are people in our families, people who sit right next to us that we have to forgive. We walk around many times and we hold grudges against people for things that they've done. And a lot of times what I found in my life that's still rather young is that the offenses that I'm holding on to, the persons aren't even aware of. They aren't even aware a lot of the times that they've offended me. And if that's the case, then I need a lot more work on creating and allowing the Holy Spirit to create in me this clean heart that David speaks about so passionately. And he wants forgiveness, and he speaks to God about it, saying, God, please help me. So this morning, when I ask, is my forgiveness real? That's a personal question. That's a personal question for you to ask if you feel you need to ask it. But what I have this morning is I have a demonstration that says Forgiveness that's real, it looks like this. Forgiveness that's real is doing what David did and taking Mephibosheth, even if not in the literal, even in the spiritual. If you say, I'm going to take that person who has offended me, I'm going to take these generations of offenses, and I'm going to say, I'm going to pray for those who yet remain in this family who have no idea about how they've offended me. I'm going to pray for that husband or wife who they don't have any idea of how they wronged me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God first. I'm going to repent, and then I'm going to ask him to forgive me so that I might be forgiven for all of my sins that I've committed, that I will commit. And I want God to hear my prayer. So this morning, as we think and as we go forward, I want us to remember that real forgiveness looks like this. And it looks like what Jesus Christ taught us as he taught the disciples in his word. So as we go forward and as we continue even on this day, if there's somebody who has offended you, forgive them. If there's somebody who you've offended and you're aware of it, ask for forgiveness. Because real forgiveness, it looks like this. It looks like what Jesus said. It looks like what David did. But we have to remember that we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to have forgiveness in our hearts so that our God in heaven can forgive us. This is the word of the Lord.